I saw a special not too long ago, and I won't get into the details about the... It was kind of like a documentary, but it covered a whole lot of different things. Well, how many of you have ever heard of a man named Pablo Escobar? Anybody heard of Pablo Escobar? Some of you haven't, really. Pablo Escobar, he never attended this church. He was one of the most notorious drug dealers in history. He was in Colombia, and at one point, his reign of terror was so bad, Colombia was referred to as the capital of murder. Nobody was beyond his retribution, if you will. He is the one who essentially introduced cocaine to the United States. And at one point, somewhere between 70 and 80% of all cocaine in the United States came from his drug cartel. He, what you would call the gross profits from his drug industry came out to right at $60 million per day. Per day. Now, eventually, you know, he died. He was killed. When the authorities, they tracked him down, a gunfire ensued, and he was killed. Now, he was making, for a period of time, and I don't know how long this went on, the $60 million a day, but he was listed as one of the richest men in the world at one time. And with that kind of money come in, you would be. So now, if you did not know what he did, if you did not know how he made his money, and you just saw a list of the richest people in the world at the time when he was alive doing this, and you saw his name on there, and you saw the billions that he was worth, your tendency might be, man, I'd like to sit down with that guy and find out how he made his money. Well, he might be willing to sit down and tell you, and hopefully not shoot you when he's done. But, see, there's a right way and a wrong way to make money. Now, you can make money the wrong way. And his lifestyle is a testimony to that. But when it comes to making money, you know, we as Christians, whoever you talk to, generally speaking, their concept of making money is based upon their level of income and available spending cash. When I say spending cash, that's what you have in your pocket, what you have at home in the sock drawer, and what you have in the bank, what is available to you. So a discussion about money is usually based upon the individual's position in life, their financial position in life. And when we talk about somebody making $60 million a day, or $1 million a day, whatever it would be, for most people, that is, our minds can't seem to wrap around it. But if you're making $60 million a day, and you're talking to somebody that makes $60 million a day, or $10 million a day, and as you're talking to that person, if you bring up the idea of making $3 million a day, that person just looks at you and nods, yeah, okay. Because they're making $10 million a day. They're making $30 million. So to them, okay, and your point is what? And you're sitting there thinking, $3 million a day? $3 million a day? Are you serious? And the guy would be looking at you thinking, yeah, that'd be a massive drop in what I have coming in. For me to go from $20 million a day to $3 million a day, I'd be losing $17 million a day. Well, and right about then our brains start going tilt. Because we can't, in our natural mind, relate to this. Now, the title of today's sermon is Prosperity, Truth, it's part 7, Saving and Investing. Now, what I'm going to be doing in this message today is showing you concepts from Scripture and tying them into things that you can do in this life that some Christians might criticize, but it's legal and it works. What I'm going to show you today, for some people, when they hear this, their minds are going to, I had no clue. And therein lies part of the problem. Earlier in this series, I made a statement how that anybody in this room, listening or watching, whatever the case would be, 20 years old or under, I was going to show you how you can be a millionaire. I'm going to do that today. It works. It's guaranteed. This is not some pie in the sky. Oh yeah, he just said that. No. This works. Guaranteed. But it's up to you if you do it. And I'm guessing that this particular sermon is one that people are going to pay more attention to than any other sermon.
I want to get rich, Brother Warren.
All right. First off, let's take a look at what might appear to be a contradiction in Scripture. Turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And if you have some kind of a marker, leave it in 1 Timothy. We're going to read something in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Then we're going to go somewhere else. Then we're going to come back to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and read a little more. So in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 3. Now, before we go any further, what I'm going to be sharing with you, there will be the concepts will work in any nation. Doesn't matter where you live. The concepts will. So that what that means is people in other countries listening to this, well, that's an American thing. No, no, it's not. All right, that said, 1 Timothy chapter 6, now let's pick it up in verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Now look at that. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, foolish and hurtful lusts, destruction, perdition. I don't want any of those things. So then if I don't want any of those things, wouldn't it make sense that I would not, you know, I would not want to be one of these that will be rich, right? I'm not trying to trick you here. I'm serious. If I don't want all that bad stuff, then I should not be one of those that will be rich. Now, keep your marker here and turn over to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. And here in Proverbs chapter 8, begin in verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the path. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is unto the sons of man. O ye simple, or O you unlearned, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. Verse 14, counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me, kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness and in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. So what we're seeing here then is, I can make you rich. Is that not what we're seeing in Proverbs? What we just read. Proverbs, now let me summarize. Proverbs is saying, hey, guess what? I know how to make you rich. Well, but over in Timothy, it says that they that will be rich are going to have all kinds of problems. So what's the deal here? I don't want all the problems, but yet you're telling me you can make me rich, but if you make me rich, won't I have all the problems? I mean, what's going on here? Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Ah, now I get it. Verse 10 tells me why the people that want to be rich are having all these problems. It's because they have a love of money. Now look back over in Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 4. And in Proverbs chapter 4, just take a look at verses, well, begin in verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Now, this word honor in verse 8, it does mean, you know, to be honored, to be esteemed and recognized and so on and so forth. But part of its meaning, not its exclusive meaning, part of its meaning is also to be wealthy, to be rich, to be heavy with goods, property, and money. Okay, now what's the difference? The difference is this. If you have a love of money, you're setting yourself up for problems. Why did Pablo Escobar start doing drugs, start selling drugs? To get rich. That was it. He saw it as an easy way to make millions of dollars because of a love of money. But yet, wisdom says, I can make you rich. Now, please, don't misunderstand. I'm not telling you guys that by the end of this service, you're going to know how to make $60 million a day. All right? Just kind of put that out of your mind. What I want you to understand here is that wisdom is telling us, I'm the principal thing, seek after me. And if you seek first after me, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, if you seek first after me, then in turn, one of the byproducts, one of the fruits, if you will, of seeking after me is I can help you make money. I can help you increase. Fall in love with me, wisdom. Not with money. Fall in love with me. And see, if you fall in love with wisdom first, then when the money comes, you don't have a problem releasing it again. Because, you know, wisdom can produce more. It's not a problem. So then, it isn't a matter of getting money being wrong. It's a matter of loving money. And that is your drive. And I've heard people over the years talk about, you know, how they're going to make money and how they're going to be this and they're going to, that's their drive. You have Christians that are like that. They work so hard. Why? Make money. Make money. Make money. Well, you know what? Maybe if you pursued wisdom first, you might not have to work as hard. What do you think? Okay, yeah. And before we go any further in this, I need to tell you. What I'm going to share with you in this message today works no matter how much money you don't have right now. Because as soon as you start talking about savings, investing, and making money, immediately some people, they just tune you out because, well, I don't have any money. All right? That is a trap of poverty. So, seriously, I don't care if you make a dollar an hour or $50,000 an hour. It doesn't matter. Lay all of that aside, because what I'm going to tell you right now in this service today works. Yeah, well, I'm only 15 years old. Well, have you not been listening? I said I was going to show you, if you're 20 years old or younger, how you can become a millionaire. So guys, listen, don't tune any of this out. What I'm sharing with you today literally could impact your financial future, and it doesn't matter how old you are. Well, I'm 80 years old. Okay, plan to live to 100. You know, I hear some of these Christians talk about, oh, I wouldn't want to live to be 100. I do. I want to live to be 100. I want to live to be 110. I want to live to be 120. Why? So I keep doing what I'm doing. I like what I do. It's fun to share the Word of God. So yeah, I'm willing to hang around for a while. The rest of you want to, you know, pack it up and head out, that's on you, but not me. I'll just teach your kids and their kids and the next generation. I'll just hang around for a while. If I have to dye my hair to get them to listen to me, I'll do it. Okay, moving right along. Look in Proverbs chapter 13. See, I used to be a person who thought, well, you got to have money to make money. Okay, there's an element of truth to that. But I'm going to show you today how you can still make money. Yeah, but I'm working five jobs a day. Well, I can still help you with this. Okay, now, Proverbs chapter 13. You may not have the greatest education. Come on, guys, quit making these excuses so we can get through this sermon, okay? You may not have the best education. Will you stop looking at the natural and start considering what God is going to say in His Word and how it's going to tie into the things of the natural? What I'm going to share with you today is available to anybody. It's up to you. All right, now, Proverbs 13, verse 22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. For the moment, ignore the last part, focus on the first part. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. You can't do that if you don't have an inheritance to leave behind. And I'm sure you probably want to leave some to your children, as well as your children's children. So if you don't have anything to leave behind, how are you going to do this? What God is telling you right here, your children's children, that's talking about your what? Your grandchildren, which means you're older, right? Get this? That means God, right here in this verse, God is telling you, wisdom dictates that you plan for old age so you have something to leave behind. See that? This is the Word of God. Now, you've got Christians out there who are so deceived by Satan. They say things like, long as I got just enough to pay my bills and keep a tater on the table, I'm all right. No, you're not all right. You're a fool and you're deceived. Because you cannot do what God is saying right here. He says a good man, let's just say a good person, a good believer, is going to leave an inheritance for his children's children. That means if you're not preparing for this, you aren't good. Well, that's mean. No, that's the Word of God. What's it say right here? We just read this. See that? Okay, now look over in Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now look in Hosea chapter 4. Well, coming back to Proverbs, so, you know, leave your finger here. Hosea, that's there in the Old Testament, one of those little bitty books that the pages kind of stick together. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Okay, now this is speaking about spiritual things, spiritual rebellion and so forth. But the first part of this verse is a key. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of destruction. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are devastated for lack of knowledge. When it comes to the whole issue of finances, the body of Christ is, generally speaking, every one of us in here, a lack of knowledge when it concerns financial things leads to a level of financial devastation. Every one of you in here, at some point in your time, there's something in you that has said, I can do better than this. Every single one of you in here. And if you say that you've never had that thought in your life, you are lying to me. Because there's something in the heart of a believer that knows God has better. I'm a child of God. And when you read the Bible, you cannot get away from the fact it can be better than this, no matter where you live, no matter what country. Because the Word of God makes promises that God plans to stand behind. He says, I hasten to perform my word. So therefore, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the ways thereof are the end of destruction and our death. My people are destroyed. Okay, so then if we can change this and no longer have a lack of knowledge, but gain knowledge. Remember what wisdom said? I am wisdom. Pursue me. Pursue knowledge. Pursue this understanding. If I can change this and no longer have a lack of knowledge and start doing and stop doing things in the way that seems right unto me, won't stuff begin to happen in my life when it concerns my finances? Won't something begin to change? It has to. It has to. Because it's what God says in His Word. What I'm up against in this message is the fact that so many Christians have lived in a cage their whole lives concerning money. They honestly see no hope. They see no way out. And they don't think anything's going to work for them. And they'll come up with a list of excuses. What I'm saying is this: God does not put us in a cage. We're the ones that do it ourselves. So therefore, if you get a hold of this, and if I can get rid of, for me now, if I can get rid of my lack of knowledge and increase with knowledge and stop doing things that seem right unto me and start doing them a better way, I will increase. Some way, somehow, I will increase. I'm not promising myself $60 million, but I will increase. I will be at a place of being a good man to leave an inheritance for my children's children. Now, in Proverbs chapter 13, look at verse 11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. All right, what in the world does this mean? Wealth gotten by vanity. Think of it like this. Wealth gotten by vain ideas shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. The image that's presented there is, okay, yes, working, not being lazy, but it goes beyond that. When he says here, he that gathereth by labor, okay, if you're gathering by labor, what do? Well, you get up Monday morning, you go to work. You get up Tuesday morning, you go to work. Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, Friday morning, and then you have maybe Saturday and Sunday off. And then it starts over again on Monday. In other words, there is a pattern of consistency in what you're doing. Working on your job, how many of you ever found that when you work your job, that's not get rich quick? No, it's not. But it is consistency. And that's part of what he's presenting here. Look over in Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21, verse 5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. Again, I'm going to get it now. And he says, no, hold on here. The thoughts of the diligent, that tends to plenteousness. The diligent. The thoughts of the diligent. Most Christians aren't diligent. Look over in Proverbs 28. You say, well, how do you know most Christians aren't diligent? Have you spoken to all Christians? No, I haven't, but I've spoken to enough that I feel like it's a fairly good sampling of the body of Christ to where I can just tell you. When I'm talking about here in the financial arena. They aren't diligent. Proverbs 28, verse 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. There are four critical elements related to increase concerning saving and investing. Four critical elements. Number one. Now don't respond out loud. Well, what do you think number one would be? Wisdom. Number one, wisdom. How do you know that? Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, with all you're getting, get wisdom. Get understanding. So number one is wisdom. Number two, practical. Being practical. Nearly every get-rich-quick idea is a scheme, a scam, a lie, or a failure. Nearly all of them. I'm sure some have worked along the way, but nearly all of them. And I've seen so many Christians, okay, don't anybody get offended at me. But one of the worst things that's ever happened to the body of Christ is multi-level marketing. Now, the concept works. And if you're at the top of the food chain, yeah, you'll make money. But the way it's presented, my whole church life, I've seen this. It's one thing after another. And I'm not going to mention any companies. The product may be really good in the, you know, program. It may be really good. But so many Christians go into this having this idea that I'm going to make all this money. And then it doesn't work. Some do make money. Don't misunderstand me. But my experience has been the people go into it thinking they're going to make all kinds of money, and they don't. They don't make the kind of money they think they're going to make. Maybe they make some, but not like they think they're going to make. So practical. When it comes to saving and investing, there has to be a practical approach. Now, let me just jump ahead. What is a practical approach? How do you think the billionaires made their billions legally? A practical approach. All right? Now, number three, diligence. You have to stick to it. Diligence when it comes to your financial stuff. Diligence. And this is why the rich people stay rich. Hey, these guys that own these professional sports teams, I remember years ago, it finally clicked with me. They're not buying these teams to get rich. They're already rich, and they're buying these teams as an investment. How many of you heard that the Kansas City Royals, as of this day, the Kansas City Royals are up for sale? And the guy that bought them originally bought that team, I forget how many years ago it was, for $90 million. Okay, now he didn't have to get a loan. You follow me? $90 million. That team today, I think 20 years ago he bought the team. I think it was 20 years. That team today is being sold for $1 billion. From $90 million to $1 billion. You don't think he's smiling all the way to the bank? He didn't buy that team to try to be a millionaire. He bought the team because he was a millionaire. He already had the money. But in his diligent research, he figured out, okay, there's a pattern here of great increase. I'll buy it, and I will, the fourth element, be patient. Be patient. I will buy this baseball team for $90 million and hope that somewhere along the way, now listen to what I'm saying here, this is important. I'll buy this baseball team for $90 million and hope that somewhere along the way, we have winning seasons. And hope that somewhere along the way we win our division. and hope that somewhere along the way we make it to the World Series. And really hope that maybe someday we win the World Series. But even if none of that happens, what I do know is this. In a few years, I will be able to quadruple my money at minimum. And I'll get more than I even thought about spending to get this team. So see, you don't have to be a winning team to become rich. You just have to have the team. Because somebody else is going to come along and for $1 billion buy that team and in 20 years sell it for $30 billion or whatever it will be. Are you understanding, seeing this? So the four critical aspects of saving and investing, number one, wisdom. Number two, it's got to be practical. Number three, diligence. Number four, patience, the tortoise approach. Get rich quick is the hare approach. The patience, that's the tortoise approach. And it works every time. Every time. Did you know that generally speaking, I won't even get into all this. Generally speaking, the high risk, high yield return investments over the long haul make less than the low yield, low risk investments. Over the long haul, all right? I'm talking your 20, 30 years now. I'm not talking overnight. But the low yield, low risk usually end up making more money over time than the high yield, high risk. Okay, now, I did some research on this, and the best I could find is that what I'm getting ready to read to you was attributed to Albert Einstein. Now, there's some people debate whether Einstein was the first person to say this, but repeatedly I found Einstein is the person who first said this. How many of you know who Albert Einstein? Okay, yeah, pretty smart. Anyway, Albert Einstein is credited with saying, "Compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. He who understands it earns it. He who doesn't pays it." Compound interest is the most powerful force in the universe. Compound interest is the greatest mathematical discovery of all time. Now, I know that there is some elaboration in this, but you'll understand what he meant by that in just a moment. I'm going to give you some terms so that you understand what I'm going to be saying here in just a little bit. Some of you guys already will understand these terms. This is not complicated, but how many of you have you ever heard the term the principal amount? Okay, that's not what the guy at school had, okay? The principal amount. The principal amount is what you put in. In other words, what you put in the bank or put in the investment or whatever, you take money out of your pocket and you give it somewhere else. Interest is what is paid to you for you loaning your money to the bank or the investment company. Do you know when you put your money in a savings account at the bank, do you realize that's a loan? Do you understand that? It's a loan. You think the bank is doing you a favor. It's a loan. And so here, you may not know this, but what the bank does, let's say we all go to the same bank, and they take your money, 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 your money. Okay, they put all our money together along with the money from all the other people that put their money in that bank. And you know what they do? They turn around and they invest it. Now, let's just throw these numbers out. They take all that money, they invest it, and they make 15% on that money. Then they give you 1% on your savings account and 0% on your checking account. I know it's different per institution. I get that. They don't tell you that's what they're doing. You know why? Because of the reaction you just had. What? They're making 15% and I'm only getting 1%? What kind of a scam is this? It's legal. They're making all this money. But to keep you pacified, They'll give you 1% on your money and you're going to be happy. As long as they can give you a token of what they make, you think you're doing good. When in reality, they're not literally laughing at you, but in their board meetings, they're making out and they know it. So when you put money in a bank or a credit union or an investment company, you are making essentially a loan to them, especially for the banks and credit unions. And then interest, the principal amount is what you put in. The interest is what is paid to you for making that loan to them. Simple interest is calculated only on the principal amount. Simple interest is calculated only on what you put in and nothing more. However, compound interest, or what some people call compounding interest, it is calculated on the principal amount, what you put in, plus all the accumulated interest that they've been giving you as long as your money has been with them. Now, this money is compounded based on periods. You say, well, what is a period? A compounding period. A compounding period is the frequency by which interest is computed and added to your account. Have you ever gone into a bank and they have a sign hanging up there? Annual interest rate, daily interest rate. See that? Okay, that's compound interest. And what that means is every day they're adding interest to your account every day. Now, the annual interest rate, it might be, say, 2%, but the daily interest rate might be 0.00134%, okay? And you look at that and you think, that ain't nothing. Well, it's not really, it's not, because the people who have the knowledge that God says people are destroyed for not having, the people that have the knowledge, they laugh at that. Hey, the millionaires, you know what? Probably not one of them has a savings account in a bank. What? Well, then how do they make their money? That's where we're headed. Those people, we're the ones that make them rich by virtue of we put our money in the bank and then the bank invests the money with people like that who are investing the money that's invested with them. I mean, it's a crazy cycle, but that's how these guys get all this money. Now, let's keep going here. This whole thing of the compounding period, it can be daily interest rate, it can be weekly, monthly, semi-annually, annually, I mean, whatever is being offered by that particular organization. Now, the rate at which compound interest accumulates depends on the frequency of the compounding period. For example, if you only get compound interest once a year, that's not as much as compound interest semi-annually. Now, let me give you an example. If you have $100 and you put it in a bank, and they're going to give you, okay, let me say it like this. If I were to come to you and I were going to, and I said this, all right, look, here's what I want you to do. If you will give me $100 on January 1st, give me $100. On December 31st, I will give you 10% back. Your $100 plus 10%. Like, well, okay. But then what if I said, or, on January 1st, you give me $100. And in 6 months, I'll give you 5%. And then on December 31st, I'll give you another 5%. And you're thinking, yeah, right, I'm going to choose 5% over 10%. You think I'm stupid? And so you take the 10%. And I'm thinking, boo-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. I just want to add on that deal. Because $100 at 10% interest, at the end of the year, you have $110. But $100 at 5% interest compounded semi-annually means that I get 5% of my $100 in 6 months, which is $105. Then in another 6 months, I get 5% of $105, which means I now have $110.25. So I made 25 cents by going with the semi-annual at 5%. You say, 25 cents more, what's the big deal? Okay, well, what if it were $10,000? Are you starting to understand this? What if it were $50,000? Okay, now you're starting to talk about that 5% semi-annual versus the 10% annual makes a big difference. A huge difference. Remember, destroyed for lack of knowledge. So you think the 10% is the better deal, when in reality, if you sit down and gain the knowledge of the calculator, you realize, I'm going 5% semi-annual. I make more money at the end of the year. If a 20-year-old person, I know most of you in here aren't, but those of you who are or under, here it is. I'm telling you right now how to make a million. Here it is. A 20-year-old person takes $50 a week and invests it at 7% interest, compounded semi-annually, and does this for 45 years. 45 plus 20 is 65, meaning you retire at 65. At 65 years old, you will have $811,612.36. $50 a week. That's it. But if you bump that from same dollar amount, same starting age, same number of years, if you bump it from 7% to 8%, at age 65, you will have $1,078,034.30. This is how you make $1 million. You start now. You say, well, yeah, but I ain't nowhere near 20. I can't remember 20. But you... I understand. The point I'm making is this. No, I'm only guessing, not one person hearing this sermon has ever checked something like this out. Not one. And I just now told you, 20 years old or younger, how you can make $1 million. Now, granted, some people, you know, okay, I'm only 20 years old. Okay, hey, what if you started this when you're 16 years old and you have a part-time job? And instead of spending it all kinds of who knows whatever, I got to have whatever you buy nowadays, you know, got to have the game, the computer game, got to have this, got to have that, okay? And at age 65, those computer games aren't even going to work anymore. You won't even have the same computer. But if you got $1 million in the bank, you could buy yourself a pretty decent computer. There is an investment process called the Rule of 72. Has anybody heard of that? Okay, look at this. Couple of hands in here. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The Rule of 72, go into any bank, and they're going to be able to tell you what it is. Go into any credit union, they'll tell you what it is. Go to any financial institution, and they're going to say, oh yeah, Rule of 72 is blah, 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 blah. They're going to tell you what it is. It's not a secret. It is a practice. Every day it goes on. The Rule of 72, here it is, very, very briefly. Take the number 72, divide it by an annual percentage rate of your return, 3%, 5%, 20%, whatever, and it will tell you how many years it's going to take for your investment to double. Very simply, if you want your money to double in 9 years, you must invest it at 8% annually. That's Rule of 72. Divide 72 by 8, and that's how you come up with it, 9 years. This is not complicated math. I mean, we're not trying to figure out how to get a rocket to the moon. This is easy stuff. But my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because, see, these are things that work in the world. And one of the most foolish things in the world is for a lot of Christians to say, but I'm trusting God. And God is saying, yeah, but my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Yes, but I'm trusting God. I'm telling you, seek after wisdom. Wisdom, now listen, wisdom says rule of 72 works. See, you have a lot of Christians, they sit back, they don't do squat. And they expect somehow the money to come in. And God is saying, I don't know where you got that idea, but it doesn't work. The hand of the diligent increases. And so you have to be diligent to these things. Okay, moving forward. Okay, you remember I gave you the example, if you take that $50 a week and you put it in for the interest, you know, 20 years old and so forth, and you have over $800,000 if you at 7%, you bump it to 8%, you have over $1 million. If you take that same $50 a week and you put it in your sock drawer at home and do nothing with it, in 45 years you will have $117,000. Now where's the wisdom in that? You ever heard anybody say, I don't trust them banks? I've heard that before. Okay, don't. That's not wisdom. Savings accounts at banks or credit unions are basically at the very absolute bottom of ways to increase money. And so what are most Christians satisfied with? Their savings account. Well, boy, look at that. Made $3 last year on my savings account. That's at the bottom. And we think we're doing great. Wow, the interest rate at the bank for my savings account, it went up from 0.5% to 1%. It doubled. 1%. And the 30%ers are laughing. Because if your 0.5% went up to 1%, their 30% went up to maybe 35. That's the way it works. But my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, look over in Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And I'm going to show you something in Scripture that it may kind of surprise you. Ecclesiastes was written by who? Solomon. Solomon was who? King of Israel. But he was also the richest man ever recorded. I mean, his billions back then would have worth, he might have been a trillionaire today. Okay, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, look here. Verse 1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. What in the world is that? I mean, if I take my bread and I cast it on the water, it's going to get all soggy and disgusting and grumpy. Who wants to eat bread water? No. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking here about investing. Okay, keep it simple. Verse 1. You ain't going to make nothing as long as you keep it in your pocket. You have to get rid of it. Meaning, release it. Release it. And verse 1 is not stand alone. It's connected to verse 2. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8. For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. What's he talking about here? He's talking about diversification of investments. In other words, you pick 7 or 8 different places to cast your bread, and you're going to make money, but you don't keep it in the same place because you don't know what evil shall be upon the earth. In other words, if you invest in the ABC company, and that's the only place that you invest your money, you don't know what's going to happen to ABC company. But if you invest in the ABC company and the XYZ company and the this one and that one and a total of 8 different places, if one of them collapses, you're still going to make money from the others. See that? This is what he's talking about. But then he continues and says, look, if this isn't clear enough for you, If the rains be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Okay. And where is the profound wisdom in this? What he's saying here is, just as everything I'm telling you in verse 3 is a guaranteed, what I just told you in verses 1 and 2 is equally guaranteed. It works. Now, this is God telling us, diversify your investments. And I'm telling you, if you do lack of knowledge, now remember, in living by a savings account at the bank, that is bottom tier, the lowest of the low. You can't go any lower than a savings account at a bank when it comes to making money. And he says, and look here in verse 4. He says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. In other words, verse 4, he's saying, look, now see if this rings true for anybody. If you are afraid to step out and cast your bread on the water, then guess what? You're not going to sow. You're not going to invest. You're not going to do it. If you he that regards the clouds, oh, it looks cloudy today. I better not go work the fields. Well, then you don't have anything to eat. Oh, it looks rainy today. I better not go out and sow. Well, you're not going to have anything. And he's saying, if you let fear dictate your course of action, you will do nothing. And you'll sit back and, well, at least I have a savings account. Okay, yeah, and how's that working for you? At this rate, how much are you going to have by age 65 with your savings account? Not much. One of the best things, now listen, I'm not promising anybody any kind of returns on anything, but what I'm telling you is this. One of the best things you could do is give hard thought to and prayer to getting rid of your savings account and putting that money someplace where you're going to get a whole lot better return. Because it's out there. It can be done. If you work at a bank, I'm sorry, but this is just the way it is. Okay, I don't mean to be rude. Go ahead, Pastor. The reason this works so well, the savings account thing, is because banks are counting on people to stay ignorant and to live with a lack of knowledge. Because once you get wise on this, you're going to yank your money out of the savings account. And you're going to put it someplace where you're going to make a whole lot more than what they're offering. And they'll try to talk you out of it. That's because that's how they're making their millions upon billions. And so he says, look, these concepts, this principle is guaranteed. It works. And the more your money works harder than you do is the more you make. The Bible says, he never sleeps and never slumbers. Well, guess what? If you got your money invested wisely, your money's working 24/7. It's working around the clock, making you money. You can go to bed at night and think, glory to God, I'm getting richer, hallelujah. But I'm seeking wisdom first, glory to God. You can't let this whole concept of increase cloud your judgment when it comes to wisdom. Look over in Genesis chapter 2. Because see, immediately, some people are going to say, in fact, a lot of people would say, well, you know, you talk a good talk, Brother Martin. But here's the problem, all this investing stuff. I don't know what to do. My people are destroyed. Are you following this logic? All right, now let me ask you a question. How many of you, now some of you in here maybe could do this, but if the vehicle you drive, if the constrabulator valve went bad, how many of you could change it? How many of you even know what a constrabulator valve is? Okay, guess what? There's no such thing as a constrabulator valve. I just... What? You see, if something goes wrong with your car and you don't know what it is, what do? You take it to someone who knows, right? If something goes wrong with your car, maybe you're one of these do-it-yourself kind of guys. Well, there comes a point in time where you're only going to be able to do so much for yourself unless you have some advanced equipment at your disposal. And you're going to have to take it to somebody who knows and who has been trained to fix your car. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So I don't personally need all the knowledge of how to invest in every kind of fund that exists, but I at least need the knowledge of who has that knowledge. Do you understand what I'm saying here? In Genesis chapter 2, listen to this. Verse 10, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads, and the name of the first is Pison, that which that is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is what?
Gold.
And the gold of that land is good, and there is Delium and the onyx stone. Okay, what am I seeing right here? God knows where the gold is. See that? So I don't have to know where the gold is. I just need to know who knows where the gold is and have that person tell me. Then I go and I can get the gold. Are you following the logic in this? Now look over in Deuteronomy 32. Oh, glory, we got to move on. Deuteronomy 32. And in Deuteronomy 32, take a look, verse 1. Give ear, O you heavens, and I'll speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. So he's getting ready to tell you something that you need to know. For the sake of time, jump over to verse 9. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. In other words, God is saying, I know where the blessings of the earth are located. I know where the oil is. I know where that thing about the honey. Did you know there's a particular type of oil in the ground that's referred to as honey? And it's because it is basically the most pure form of oil that exists in the ground. And when they pump it out of the ground, it looks like honey. It's not black. It looks like honey because it's already been, I'll say, purified because of the earth. Or I don't understand how it works. God knows where all this is. Now, the point here is God knows where the money is. He knows where to invest. If you knew today, if you knew that a particular plot of land, underneath it was 1 billion gallons of honey oil, and it was going to be worth so much, and you were able to invest for $1,000, and you knew this for a fact, somehow God revealed it to you, would you not do what you could to put that $1,000 together to get involved with that deal? Because you know that investment is going to 10, 20, 100, 1,000 times increase. Yeah, you probably would. Okay, God knows where the money is. He knows how to invest. And there's another passage that kind of talks about this in the imagery, Isaiah 45, verses 1 through 3. Here's the point. You don't have to be an investment expert. All you have to do is find someone who knows. That's it. Why should you spend all the time? Look over in Exodus. Exodus 31. Exodus 35. Let's do that. Exodus 35. Why should you spend all your time trying to figure out how to be an investment expert when somebody else has already done it? You know, years ago, I thought I was going to try to become an investment expert. And then I realized, okay, I don't have time for this. I'm going to leave it for somebody else because my time needs to be occupied doing what I'm doing. Now, other people, this is what God wants them to do. Be highly knowledgeable in investments. Exodus 35, look at verse 30. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to devise curious works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in the cutting of stones to set them and in carving of wood to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of that guy of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman and of the embroiderer in blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and weaver and of them that do any work and of those that devise cunning work. In other words, there are people out there who know how to do this. It's not on you. So my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I don't have to become the investment expert. If I just have a rudimentary understanding of it, then I can find somebody who knows what they're doing and utilize their expertise. According to this, well, we already have an embroiderer. Therefore, I don't have to embroider anything. I go to the embroiderer. I don't have to carve my own wood stuff. I go to the guy who knows how to carve, who has that ability. Same thing with investing. I go to somebody who knows what they're doing. Most people, I'm not trying to be mean, but most people in banks have no clue. All they can do is point to, well, this is what our bank offers to you. And most banks don't offer, most now, aren't going to be able to offer you the kind of things that you need when it comes to making the kind of money that you can make through investments. Now, as far as learning from experts, let me give you, I'll tell you a story. I read this years ago. I never forgotten it, although I did forget the name of the person this happened to. There was this man who was a cab driver in New York City. That was his career, his whole life, drove a cab. That was it. Well, he retired. And at his retirement party, I don't know, somehow it came out, this guy was a millionaire. A millionaire. And people were looking at him and asking, how could you be a millionaire? You drove a cab. How does a cabbie make $1 million? How do you have that kind of money? And he said, well, here's how I did it. I drove my cab in the financial district of New York City. And when those bankers and those investors and those people would get in my cab and they'd be talking to each other or talking to me, I would just listen. And I knew where to invest, where to change my investments, so on and so forth. That's how I became a millionaire. This guy got free financial advice because he never paid a dime for it. All he did was listen to the experts. And they weren't even supposedly, I mean, they weren't trying to give him, I'm sure some gave him advice, but they weren't in that cab to teach him how to make money. He just, where to? What'd you say again? He just listened. And he applied what they were talking about, and he ended up a millionaire as a cab driver. Now, the reason I'm pointing that out is because every one of you in here, no matter what your job is, the same potential exists. All you have to do is get with the right people. There are different types of investments, all kinds of types of investments. You've all heard of an IRA, individual retirement account, all different kinds of IRAs. One that seems to be very popular with a lot of people is called the Roth IRA, R-O-T-H, Roth IRA. Now, I'm not going into all the different types of retirement programs here today, and I'm not even going to go into a Roth IRA, what it is, but it's very, very advantageous for a lot of people. This is where you need to check into it. If you go online and just Google, what is a Roth IRA? Boom, there it is. It's right there. For ministers, for those who are employed in a church full-time, employed in a church, or like an itinerant ministry, you know, like Gary Carpenter, who travels. Okay, for those who are employed in a ministry full-time, in a ministry capacity, not as the janitor or whatever, but in a ministry capacity, there is an investment program that's identified as a 403B. The 403B enables that person to invest their money, and then at retirement, they can take at the least a portion of it out and designate it as a housing allowance and pay no taxes whatsoever. That's a 403B. Now, these are all things that people can check out on their own. And you can do this. 15, 20 minutes on a computer, on the internet, and you can find information about investing that is just basic entry level. Oh, I didn't know about that. But it's something that gives you a little bit of knowledge so that you, when you find somebody who is an investment counselor, you have a little bit of something that you kind of understand what they're talking about. Now, there is a company that I want to share with you. This company is an investment company. This sermon is not a sales pitch, okay? This is not a setup. I've been in situations like that. No, this is a teaching. There is a company that is called the Timothy Plan. Now, this investment company, they refuse to invest money in companies that support abortion, homosexual rights, tobacco. I mean, if it's unscriptural, they do not invest in those companies. So they're not going to invest in Coca-Cola, no matter what the return is. They're not going to do that. They're not going to invest in these other companies. In fact, here within the last couple of years, I think, they started investing in companies in Israel to support Israel. I actually learned about this program, this company, from Pastor Bronk Flint in Florida. And he's involved with it, and I'm just now learning about it. He's been very pleased with the return on his money. Now, he's not somebody that's a millionaire investing millions. You guys have met Pastor Bronk. What I'm talking about, he's a, you know, an average guy like us, okay? And he's been doing really well with the Timothy Plan. Now, I went online, and I took a look at some of the stuff they have on there. Honestly, I don't know what the terminology means. But I do remember seeing rates of return, interest rates of return between 7 and 30%. So it kind of depends on what you do. And you don't have to have thousands of dollars to work with these folks. And now, I'm not promising you any kind of a return. What I'm saying is this is an investment company that does their best to follow biblical principles when it comes to investing. And I have brochures here about that company. When the service is over, you can come up, take one of these, contact them, talk to them. Just, you know, find out what they have to say and how you may be able to appropriate what they have to offer. Now, some people, they would say things like, well, I it all sounds good and everything, but I ain't got no money to invest. You know, every penny I make, it goes to this and it goes to that. Really? Are you sure you don't have any money to invest? Are you sure? Here's the challenge. For the next, I don't know, at minimum 1 week, if not 1 month, 30 days, but at least, at the minimum 1 week, every time you spend anything, write it down. Whether it's a penny or $1 million, whatever you spend, write it down. Seriously, anything. I paid the bills, write it down. If it leaves your hands, write it down. Track every penny you spend. And there's a good chance that when you're done, you may be in for a huge shock and discover that you've been spending money where maybe you shouldn't ought to be spending it. I'm not talking about sinful things, just, oh, wow, that seems a little extravagant. And if you just do it for 1 week, it doesn't become as obvious. But if you do it for like 30 days, it's going to become more obvious. And if you do it for 6 months, it's going to become extremely obvious. Now, let me give you an example. One example. I know this won't apply to everybody. I get it. It's just one example. Here you are. You work 5 days a week. And you, every day, either on the way to work or maybe at lunch, you stop in to your favorite fancy coffee place. And you buy your favorite fancy coffee drink. It only costs $4. Okay, so $4 a day times 5 days, that's $20 a week, times 52 weeks is $1,040 per year. And let's say you do that during your working career of 30 years. You will have spent, listen, you will have spent $31,200 on fancy coffee drinks. Is it any wonder Starbucks is making the kind of money they're making? Nobody sits down to figure this stuff out. And Starbucks is glad you don't. Make your own coffee. But it doesn't taste it. Get used to it. Let's say you're... Okay, what if... What if you eat meals out throughout the week? Lunch, at work, 2 or 3 times a week at night. I don't know what you do, all right? But what if you stopped eating out just 2 days a week? And you took that money and set it aside to go into your investment program. It's easy to spend $10 for lunch nowadays. It's easier to spend $20 at dinner. It ain't cheap. The point I'm making is this. Every one of us in here, we probably have more money available than what we think. And again, everybody's financial situation is different. You say, yeah, but I've got so much debt. All right, no problem. List all your bills. And then along with possibly investing, I mean, you got to get the wisdom. Remember, number one, wisdom. Focus on your lowest balance and pay it off. And then once you've paid off your lowest balance bill, take the money you were spending on your lowest balance bill and add it to pay off the next lowest balance. And then pay off the next lowest balance. Remember the patience and the diligence thing? Okay, that's what it requires. But you will eventually start getting these bills paid off. You're going to have more money for investment, and you can make the money. Now, I know that this message today, half or more of it, hasn't sounded very scriptural. But think about all the scripture I gave you at the beginning. The hand of the diligent maketh rich. I, wisdom, will teach you how to increase. And so what I'm doing is I'm showing to you principles that exist in this world, and they have for centuries. Did you know, what was this? The whole concept of compounding interest, if I remember this correctly, it is believed to have originated in Italy around the 17th century. I think that's what I read. So we're talking about ways to make money that don't require millions of dollars. Every person in this room, we can all do something. And at the very least, we can follow up. Like, for example, again, just an example, I don't get anything from the Timothy plan. I'm passing this along to you because of what I have learned. Just check it out. You may not want to do it. It's okay. But at the very least, we can gain information that makes us better equipped to be the good person who has the inheritance for our children's children. This will work. No matter what your age, you can always increase from where you are now to wherever you'll be in the years to come. This is a prosperity truth confirmed by the Word of God. Hallelujah. Well, please stand.